I've traded the wrong for the right. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. I saw the light, I saw the light. No more in darkness, no more at night. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow inside. Praise the Lord, I saw the light.
Please bow your heads with me. Dear Lord, thank you so much for bringing us here this morning, even though our time clocks had to go forward and take 1 hour of sleep from us. We are just so happy to just give up that hour for you, God, and just be here in your presence and just praise you, God. Thank you for this great community of people and just to be able to praise and worship you, and thank you for everything that you just have done for us this week and the days to come this week as well. Now please join me in our God.
Welcome. You may notice a little glitch in our slides this morning. I got a call yesterday morning that Ashley, after 2 weeks of kids trading off from flu A to flu B and finally being recuperated, had come down with a fever herself, and then in the afternoon that Ben had come down with a fever. So the family has passed from flu to flu to flu, from person to person to person, not only both types but different people. So keep them in your thoughts and prayers and be patient with us as we maneuver through the slides this morning. I do have a few announcements. Pastor's classes this afternoon at 3 o'clock. If you are considering baptism, or if you are interested in putting your membership with our church, or if you're just interested in discipleship, then join us for those classes, please. The youth will be meeting tonight at 5:30, and again Wednesday at 5:30. Our Lenten Bible study will meet Wednesday at 5:30. We have our study guides back on the shelf in front of the office, so if you're not able to join us, you can still participate and go along with the study guide. We encourage you to do that. We have a schedule of Easter services that will be starting. If you're not aware, our website, our new website, is up and running, so check that out. It's www.fcc-stillwater.org. Information on events and activities. Also, if you miss a Sunday, you can listen to the sermon audio there. You can pull up the bulletin and the study guide and all of those things. Lots of information about the church and things going on. So check that out yourselves, become very familiar with it, but also share it with other people who might be interested or looking for a church home. Dr. Baker asked me to make sure and announce that the blood drive is happening next Sunday. That's March 15th. You can contact him if you would be willing to give blood. Also, he said just show up if you are able on Sunday, and they will take your blood, and it will be beneficial to someone who is in great need. Also, on Saturday at 7:30, we have our all-church breakfast back in Fellowship Hall. It is a breakfast feast like none other, and I believe that Jim Vinsel is sharing about stories from the submarines, so join us for that if you are able. Did I miss any announcements? Was there anything that I overlooked? All right, then, if you would please stand up and take time to greet and welcome one another.
Voices in my mind that say I'm not enough. Every single lie that tells me I will never measure up. Am I more than just the sum of every high and every low? Remind me once again just who I am, because I need to know. You say I am loved when I can't feel a thing. You say I am strong when I think I am weak. You say short, and when I don't belong, oh, you say
You may be seated.
Today's scripture is from Mark 10, verses 32 through 52. They were on their way up to Jerusalem with Jesus leading the way, and the disciples were astonished, while those who followed were afraid. Again, he took the 12 aside and told them what was going to happen to him. "We are going up to Jerusalem," he said, "and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and the teachers of the law. They will condemn him to death and will hand him over to the Gentiles, who will mock him and spit on him, flog him and kill him. 3 days later, he will rise." Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him. "Teacher," they said, "we want you to do for us whatever we ask." "What do you want me to do for you?" he asked. They replied, "Let one of us sit at your right and the other at your left in your glory." "You do not know what you are asking," Jesus said. "Can you drink the cup I drink, or be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with?" "We can," they answered. Jesus said to them, "You will drink the cup I drink and be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with, but to sit at my right or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared." When the 10 heard about this, they became indignant with James and John. Jesus called them together and said, "You know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and give his life as a ransom for many." Then they came to Jericho as Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city. A blind man, Bartimaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called to the blind man, "Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you." Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked. The blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." "Go," said Jesus, "your faith has healed you." Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road.
If I can get the children to follow me forward, please, for the children's moment. Good morning, Ransom. Good morning. I'm so glad you're well and back. You understand what has been happening with the Strednecks, because you had both flu A and flu B as well, right? And now you're better. Welcome. Glad you're here. All right. I have a question for you this morning, okay? And it's a question that came up in our story, if you heard it. Jesus asked the disciples, "What would you like me to do for you?" And so that got me thinking and curious. If Jesus walked into our sanctuary today, if he stood before you and asked the same question, what would you ask him? And while you're thinking, I want to ask you the same thing. If you stood in the presence of Jesus today and were asked, "What would you have me do for you?" What would your answer be? What do you think, Ransom? What would you ask Jesus if you could ask him for anything? You don't know. It's a hard one, isn't it? How about you, Devin? What if you could ask Jesus for anything? What would you ask him for? That's a good answer. He said, "To help me live my life the best way that I could." How about that? How about somebody out? Yeah, I know. That deserves applause. Keep thinking, Ransom. How about somebody out here? Anybody have a, "Here's what I would ask of Jesus"? See, it's not just you. They can't think of anything either. Come on. Somebody can help us with this. Yes. peace. It asks for peace. You know, we heard our guest speaker this morning talked about just the incredible need for peace throughout the world and on our part in that. That's a good one. Are there others? Things that you would ask Jesus for if you had the opportunity?
Faith.
More faith. All right. Are there others? Unity. Unity. Did you say somebody?
No, I said I was with you.
Oh, she's with you. Okay. All right. Unity. All right. You know what? We need to think about what our answer would be. What would we ask of Jesus, and what is our part in making that happen, not only for ourselves, but for others? Back at the children's table, Ransom, Devin, there are some bracelets. You've already made one. We'll make another one and give it to somebody, all right? And there's also some pictures. Oh, it's too long. Well, I bet we can have some scissors and cut it off a little bit, or thread it twice, maybe. Will you guys stand up? And we're going to say a quick prayer. Gracious and loving God, for these two, I give you thanks. I give you thanks for their gifts, for their strengths, for their talents, for their abilities. I give you thanks for making them a part of this body of Christ. And I give you thanks for the opportunity to raise them up in the way that they should go, so that from that way they will never depart. We lift up today those who aren't with us today because they're homesick, and we pray for your healing hand to be upon each and every one of them. We pray that you guide, that you lead, that you direct us through these worship services this morning. Help us to listen, help us to learn, and help us to do exactly as Devin requested, that we learn to live lives that are pleasing to you. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. Thanks, guys.
There are so many things that we should be thankful for. We are all blessed so much. However, there are a lot of pain and suffering and anxiety among us as well. It's going on all around us. Why? We make choices every day. Some of them are big choices. Some of them are regular routine choices. Some of them are good. Others are not so good. Who or what is the guiding light and the one looking after us? Who loves us regardless? God. God loves you when no one else seems to. This is a time in our service where we highlight our joys and our concerns. I was going to say, you see on the screen the...
Yeah, not going today.
It's not going up today.
Mm-mm.
Well, you've seen the listing of the people that continue to be of concern, and we should keep in our prayers.
They're on the back of the bulletin.
Back of the bulletin every day. So be with them. Are there others among you? Joys and concerns. Yes. Won't he be spoiled? Three older sisters. Are there any others? Yes. Very good. Bless her. Others? Joys or concerns? Well, I know there are joys and concerns that are in your own mind that you're holding up to God right now. He sees and hears them. He'll be with you and with your concerns and your joys. Let us be together in prayer. Dear Father, the Almighty, we have shown you some of the concerns we have. You can see other concerns and joys that are in the people's heart. We ask you to be with us and give us strength and courage and encouragement to go forward day after day and to be your witness in this world. Dear Father, we continue our prayer with the words that Christ taught his disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Forgive us our sins, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
As our bell choir works their way up to the tables, I want to offer to you a call to give. I noticed that their song this morning is Seek Ye First, and I ask you to take that challenge personal, each and every one. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. It is our challenge, each and every one, to seek God first, above all, through all, and in all things. Give as you feel led. Amen. I was thinking as the bells played, we make a lot of assumptions when we gather. You know, and sometimes those assumptions come to light as our computer guy doesn't show up and you set people back there, and it's not as easy as you assumed that it was to click a simple button and go through. We assume that you know, having things up on the screen every week is going to happen. We assume that as we listen to the bells, you know, unless you've ever stood behind the table and picked up and tried to play in rhythm and in time, you assume that that's a simple task. It's not. It's very difficult. And we assume that, we sometimes assume and we take those gifts and talents for granted. So as a church, I pray that we never make those assumptions and we never take things that are incredible gifts for granted. We are working through the season of Lent. If you have been here, you know that Sundays are not a part of the 40 days that you count back from Easter. Sundays are little mini Easters. Every Sunday is a celebration of Resurrection Sunday, and so they're not counted in that. This is the second Sunday in Lent, all right? And last Sunday we started or kicked off, actually we kicked off on Ash Wednesday, our Lenten series, I Surrender All. Last Sunday we heard the story of the rich young ruler, and we talked about surrendering possibilities, and we talked about how Christianity isn't just this checklist that you go through, done that, check, did this, yes, accomplished that, check. That's not what Christianity is. Christianity is about the motives or the whys or the what fors behind why we do what we do. That motivation is just as important, if not more important, of why we do the things that we do as the things that we do. And everything that we do in Christianity should be motivated by love. So today we move to the story in Mark chapter 10, verses 32 through 52. And before we get to that, if you would please bow your heads, and we're going to open up with a word of prayer. Gracious and loving God, you are in our midst. And you're in our midst to do a work in us that you drew us here and brought us here to do. And so, Holy Spirit, we invite you to do the work that only you can do. We pray that you help us today to see things through the lens of God's love. Help us to see this scripture in a new and a vibrant way. Help it to be what your word says that it is, living and active and able to accomplish every good purpose in our lives. God, we pray that you open our eyes, our ears, our hearts, and our minds to receive. And may we leave this place today changed. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. So we start off with this title that says, the third time that Jesus foretells his death and resurrection. And you know that just recently we've gone through those two times that he shared about what was going to be happening, what it meant to be Messiah. And you hopefully remember that the disciples were having great difficulty grasping what that meant, or wrapping their minds around this. This is the third time, and we're going to see this number three repeated throughout this story in numerous ways. If you remember way back when we taught the story of the lady with the issue of blood and the young girl who was 12 years old being resurrected, and we talked about 12 and what that number meant and the significance and the meaning, it's a number that means faith. Well, many of the numbers in the Bible have meanings. And the number three is one of those. The number three, when it is shared in a Bible story, has to do with divine wholeness, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So it has to do with wholeness and complete perfection. All right? So they were on the road, and significantly enough, this is the third time that we visit a story that has been happening along the way or on a journey. The first one was on the way. The second one was on a journey. Today we're on the road, but this is the third time. So think about that and think about what that means to you and how that's applicable, that this is about bringing us to divine wholeness or complete perfection. We do not stand still. We are on the way. We're on a journey. We're along the road. So we need to ask ourselves, are we moving in our faith? And are we moving forward? And what are we moving forward towards or to? In this story, they're going to Jerusalem, so they're heading to the cross, okay? And Jesus was walking ahead of them. And I love that. I love that. And we need to wrap our minds around that, because Jesus walks ahead of us. And if we can really grasp the truth of who Jesus is, this is God. This is God in human flesh showing us the way. And that is so significant in those times of life when we feel lost, when we feel like we're wandering, when we feel like we cannot find our way. We need to remember that Jesus has gone ahead of us, and Jesus shows us the way. And they were amazed. You know, this is an emotional journey that we're on. And there are going to be days when you are amazed, when you just see God at work in and through and around you, and it just takes your breath away. And they were also afraid. And those times are also a part of this journey, a time when you fear, is God there? Does God hear me? Does God care? Does God love me? Both are a part of our path, of our journey, of our road towards the cross. And he took the 12 aside again, and he began to tell them what was happening to them. And this time he goes into more detail, saying, see, we're going to Jerusalem. The Son of Man is going to be handed over to the chief priests and the scribes. They're going to condemn him to death. They will hand him over to the Gentiles. They will mock him, spit on him, flog him, and kill him. And after 3 days, he will rise again. So we see here a much more detailed explanation than the times before. And I got stuck on that word, handed over. He will be handed over, because I wonder how many of us sitting in the sanctuary today feel at times in our life as if we have been handed over to the enemy. And we wonder if God's deserted us or abandoned us or cares about us. And yet, when Jesus is exampling for us this story of what it's going to be like along the way, he is handed over to the enemies. He's condemned. Have you felt that? Have you been there? Have you experienced that? And he's handed over again, mocked, spit on, beat up, and killed. And I have to tell you, there are weeks when I sit in my office and person after person after person knocks on the door and comes in and sits down and shares their story and opens up their heart and is vulnerable about what they're going through and what they're experiencing and what things life has brought their way. And I can tell you, Christians, we get beat up. And there are times when we feel like we have just been left on the side of the road bleeding and left for dead. But we cannot We must not. We have to look at that last little phrase of the story where Jesus is showing us the way, where he's modeling us the story. And in 3 days will rise again. And I want to tell you again the meaning behind that number three. Divine wholeness, complete perfection. And you have to be the person that reminds yourself, that reminds your spirit, that tells that brokenness within, I will rise again. I will experience the victory of my Savior. I will overcome every obstacle that is placed in my way. And then we come to the request of James and John, James and John, who were the sons of Zebedee, and they come forward to him and they say, Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you. And that sounds a little bit brash, and it sounds a little bit harsh, and you can understand why a little bit later on the disciples are a little bit upset with James and John for being so bold as to stand before Jesus and to ask of him whatever they will, or to ask that they can ask any favor that they would like. But I wonder, in your conversations with God, in those times when you sit with Jesus in those places, if you really wrestle through, if you really talk, if you really mark, if you really think about what you talk to him about, how many of those conversations are requests? How many times do you sit and ask for the things that you want in your life personally, the things that you want in your community, the things that you want in your world? How many of your conversations with Jesus revolve around your needs, your wants, your desires, what you need him to do for and with and through and in you? And they say to him, grant us to sit, one at your right hand and one at your left hand, in your glory. See, in their mind, they're still thinking that this Messiah is going to work himself into a kingdom, that he's going to be on a throne, and they want to one sit on the right and one sit on the left in all of that glory. This hard path, this hard journey, this hard work, if they're going to go to Jerusalem, to this place where they're afraid they're going to face some really difficult battles, can we at least sit on your right and left when you get to that time of glory? They still don't understand what it is this Messiah is stepping into. And Jesus tells them that. Are you able to drink of the cup that I drink, or be baptized with the baptism that I will be baptized with? And they reply to him, we are able. Yes, yes, we can handle it. We can handle victory. We can handle being at your right and your left. We can handle the glory of God. We can handle sitting up and ruling this kingdom. We each and every one need to ask ourselves that same question. Are you able? Are you able to follow in the path that Jesus has set before us? And Lent is that time when, through prayer and study and discernment and giving, through participating in things like our random acts of kindness and coming on Wednesday nights and doing the Bible study or doing it at your own home, through being intentional about reading Scripture and letting God talk to your spirit, we ask ourselves that question, am I able? Because you see, this Christian journey is about more than this. It's about more than gathering on Sunday and singing songs that we like or don't like, hearing prayers that lift us up and inspire us, hearing a message that hopefully guides us along the way. This is not what it's all about. This is a part of what enables us to walk out the door and walk the journey. But the journey, the path, the road is a rocky one. Are you able, no matter what life brings your way, to continue movement on the journey until you make it to the end? This is my favorite part. And if you've got your study guide, I want you to underline it, circle it, highlight it, write it in your Bible, because Jesus says to them, the cup I drink, you will drink. And the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. Do you guys hear that? Because that is such good news. Here are these disciples who don't comprehend, who don't get it, who still see this vision of sitting on a throne, who have walked with him, who have watched him, who have listened to him, who have experienced him, and yet still don't understand. And do you hear what he says to them? You will. You will. And they do. You know, so many times we look at each other in our faults and our failures and our fallings, and we just shake our heads and think, shouldn't we do better? Shouldn't we be better? Can't we rise above? Hear today the words of Jesus. You will. You will. You will. Don't miss this, because you will looks beyond the failure to the spirit filling of the faithful. We will. We will get there. And if you remember the story, the two that are at the right hand and the left hand of the cross are two thieves, one who accepts and one who rejects. And the ten heard this, and they were angry with James and John. I mentioned that earlier, naturally, rightfully so. What a question. But I had to ask myself the same question. How much time do we spend being angry with one another? How much time do we spend focusing on things that in the scheme of things really don't matter and really keep us from moving forward along the way? And church, I'm talking to you. I'm talking to us. Our anger inhibits us from walking along the way. Our anger is a roadblock that we have to step over, move past, and so together we can move forward along the way. And Jesus called to them and said, you know, among the Gentiles, you recognize those who rule over you and their great ones that tyrant over them. But not so among you. This journey isn't about who's the best or the biggest or the baddest or the greatest. That's not what we're going for. We're going for those who serve. Those who serve willingly. Those who serve magnificently. Those who serve wholeheartedly. Our calling is to serve one another. And to give ourselves up for one another. Our calling is to serve this community and to give ourselves up for the needs of the community. Our calling is to serve the world and to give ourselves up for the needs of the world. And they come to Jericho, and he and his disciples and a large crowd are sitting or leaving Jericho, and Bartimaeus, a blind beggar. And this is really important. Was sitting by the roadside. Notice where he's at, because that placement is really important. He is sitting by the roadside. He has not joined in. He is not along the way, but he's sitting along the roadside. And he starts yelling out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And I have to wonder, could he see what others could not see? Maybe he couldn't see what they could see, but he could see something that they didn't see. And the people ordered him, be quiet, shut up. And he continues to shout in a loud voice, David, Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stands still and says, tell him to come here. And he calls the blind man to him and says, take heart, get up. They say, take heart, get up, he's calling you. And he throws off his cloak and he comes running towards Jesus. And again, there's that same question. What do you want me to do for you? Same question that he asked the disciples. Same question that he asks each and every one of us. And the blind man says to him, my teacher, let me see again. And I have to ask you today, as you sit in this sanctuary, how important is your sight? And which type of sight to you is important? It just dawned on me that this is what we lost up here today, was the screen, our visual, our sight. What is it that we see? How is it that we see? And what kind of sight is important? You remember I told you before, I believe that our physical body was created to mirror, to be an image, to give us an understanding of the way that our spirit works. So I believe we have physical eyes that see what is around us, but I also believe that we have spirit eyes. Are those eyes opened, or are your spirit eyes blind? And are you willing to see things through the eyes of God? Because I'm telling you, that changes everything. That's a different and a new type of sight. And Jesus says to him, go, your faith has made you well. And immediately he regains his sight. And again, look where he's at now. He's following him on the way. He has moved from the side of the road to following along the way. And that, my friends, is what each and every one of us in this sanctuary today is encouraged to do. To get off of the side of the road and to follow Jesus along the way. Each and every one of us are asked, are we seeing things through our physical eyes? And is that how we determine and decide and view the world? Or are we looking with our God eyes that view the world in an entirely and totally different way? Well, you say, you know what, surrendering sight? Sure. I can do that. But let me ask the question, are you willing to look at that person who you have deemed as no potential, no possibility, no promise, and see them through the eyes of God and help them to step into their possibility, potential, and promise? Are you willing to look at the world, not the way that you've been conditioned to look at the world, but look at the world in the way of Jesus Christ, who gave his life as a ransom for the sinner, who allowed himself to be crucified on a cross between two thieves, one at the right and one at the left, one who would accept, one who would reject? Are you willing to see the world and step into the way of Jesus Christ? Are you willing today in this place to surrender your sight and allow God to give you new and clear and determined vision? We're moving into a time of communion. And you will notice as the trays pass that things are a little bit different today. We are making efforts, even though admittedly they are small efforts, to make sure that we are following safety protocol and procedure. So instead of handing out communion trays that have the bread in them where we have lots of different fingers touching and being exposed to those, we have stacked the bread and the cup into one unit. So you'll pull it out, the juice will be on the top and the bread will be underneath. It was prepared with hands that had been washed and were gloved, and so we have gone to we have tried to be as sanitary and as safe as possible to provide you with the opportunity to experience communion in a safe manner as well. As always, there is a gluten-free option. If that's an option that you need, then just raise your hand and the deacons will provide that for you. Our table, as always, is an open table. We extend an open invitation to all of those who want to experience the fullness of God. I think that there is no other example that shows us that God's ways are just not our ways. God's ways are higher than our ways. God reveals himself through the elements of bread and wine. God reveals himself to us through the elements of bread and wine. We follow along the way of a Messiah who does things in a way that are so contrary to the way that the world expects or wants or imagines that things will happen. But today we gather in confidence that as we determinedly follow in the ways of God, we can experience God in ways that are real and meaningful in our lives. When he gathered with the disciples in the upper room, he broke bread and said, "This is my body. It is for you." And then he poured out the cup and said, "This cup represents my blood spilled out for the forgiveness of sins for all who will believe. As you eat of this bread and as you drink of this cup, you proclaim my life, my death, my resurrection, and my coming again to all who receive. As you eat and as you drink, do so in remembrance of him."
Shall we bow in prayer? Lord, as we bow in worship and gratitude before you, may this cup and this bread cause us to deeply reflect on that night of communion and on your death on the cross and on your resurrection. Lord, your sacrifice for each one of us, what wondrous love is this? Your amazing love at Calvary gave us the gift of forgiveness, the gift of life, the gift of hope. Lord, may we just be as blind Bartimaeus. May we see with our heart, Lord. May we live the life that you've been given to us. May we honor you with what we do. May we remember you in all things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. As we come to the time of invitation, I'm going to remind you of the words that you heard in Scripture today. Is our natural human character and instinct to look at wanting to be great, wanting to be at the top of the totem pole, wanting to be successful in the way that the world offers us success. But today you've heard a different version of success, being the one that gives up themselves to serve others. Today, as we offer the call to invitation, I ask, if you have never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you're still sitting along the side of the road, to join us as we walk along the way. You can do that either by coming forward or by making that desire known to us at any time. Also, if you do not currently serve with a congregation, we invite you again to join us on this journey and walk alongside us, knowing that you never will walk alone. And finally, to each and every one of you as individuals today, as you sing, "I Surrender All," are you willing to surrender your sight, the way that you see things, and see things in the way that God would have you to view them? Would you stand now and join us as we sing, "I Surrender All"?
Jesus, I surrender all to Him. I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him in His presence daily live. All to Jesus, I surrender.
Gracious and loving God, what beautiful words those must be to your ears. May we mean it with our whole hearts. And as we leave this place today, may we be less fearful of losing our physical sight and more fearful of sitting along the roadside, being blinded to the spiritual truths that are all around us. God, today, each and every one of us surrender our sight, asking you to equip and enable us to see this world through the eyes of God. And may we serve with the heart of God. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. May you be blessed.